The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Hi, Rolien. You weren't happening to be listening to that song, were you?
I didn't. Of course I have an opinion.
So come, give it. I'm dying to hear.
Okay, I'm a little bit on the fence with that, but I do love how democratic the music situation at Chai FM is.
I think that's a beautiful way of putting it. I think democratic is exactly what we're aiming for. And with that, you're going to update us about the suspects in the Jersey shooting.
Quite a revelation. You know, we found out post the shooting, the terrible shooting that took place in New Jersey a couple of weeks ago, where two terrorists opened fire on a kosher supermarket, killing three, including two Jews, and one supermarket worker who literally saved the lives of so many others, and an off-duty police. And it was found out subsequent to the event that perhaps their target was a yeshiva that was just next to the supermarket. But today, senior law enforcement officials in New Jersey disclosed to the public that a bomb was discovered in the van of the two assailants. And they reckoned that it was powerful enough to explode the length of 5 football fields, which is about, in American measurements, 500 yards. I mean, if you consider that New Jersey is quite densely populated, it's really like in the city, so to speak, the amount of damage and potential death and destruction that bomb could have caused should it have gone up.
Absolutely. Let's move on to the Trump peace plan. My goodness me, we've been hearing about this for how long now? A year, 2 years? Are they ever going to produce it, Rolien?
Well, this is the million-dollar question, but the former envoy to the Middle East, Jason Greenblatt, was in the region, was in the country, and everybody wants to know, where is the great, elusive Trump plan? All we seem to know about it is the word compromise has been bandied about. We don't know exactly who has to compromise and just how much, but also we spoke a little bit about the Manama conference, which took place last year in Manama in Bahrain, which was historic for a number of reasons, because it signaled a great warming of ties between Israel and the Arab world. But questioned on this, he said that, when asked, does he think that there will be peace between Israelis and Palestinians? Is he hopeful? He said, you know, there's a lot of tough issues to work out. He says he doesn't know if the two sides could come to an agreement on the issues, that they are very, very complex. And one thing he did do was avoid magnificently the question of does he think that he was able to bring Israelis and Palestinians closer. And he said he sidestepped that and said we were able to create a plan that both sides should take seriously. And perhaps he has the elusive or the answer as to where the great elusive Trump peace plan is. And he said, you know, he doesn't know. He says he's not in the White House anymore. He says, we keep hearing it's going to be released pre-election, post-election, pre-government, post-government, he says. But actually, at the end of the day, nobody really knows.
Wow, that is going to be so interesting. And that old adage about, when is a negotiation a win when both sides feel that they've lost something? One wonders whether the Americans are considered sort of impartial enough to be able to deliver such a result. But Rolien, you'll be following that for us, I'm sure.
Well, this is a very important question. From the Palestinian perspective, they don't feel that the Americans can be impartial enough. In fact, they've actually requested that perhaps the Europeans play more of a role in brokering some kind of peace, because they feel that the Americans have exhibited such a pro-Israel stance. We can't take that away from the Trump administration. He really has shown a significant rampant amount of support for Israel. But if you were a Palestinian looking to negotiate, you know, you have to weigh the checks and balances and who's bringing you to the table. And you can kind of understand from their perspective how this looks.
Rowan, I was talking about your segment in the first hour, and just a short while ago, I said the next subject that you wanted to speak about was a subject that many of us like to ignore and pretend doesn't exist, because for whatever reason, we like to think that domestic violence does not exist or is not prevalent within Israel, the Jewish community, or is less prevalent. And I think many of us have there's a wake-up call to be had, and only until we start recognizing that it exists will we be able to do something about it. So you say there's been another woman killed due to domestic violence in Israel?
Well, first of all, I couldn't phrase it better than you. I think domestic violence, gender-based violence on either side is a societal issue. There is no country or society or group within society that is exempt from it. Last year, 25 women in Israel lost their lives to domestic violence or gender-based violence. And today, a 33-year-old woman died after she was taken to Soroka Hospital late last night in Be'er Sheva with signs of violence. She was from the Bedouin community, predominantly in the south of the country. She was taken to hospital in a very serious condition, but the doctors were sadly unable to save her. The scary statistics is 13 Israeli women were murdered in 2019 by someone who was known to them. It's important that we speak about all sectors of society that are affected. Traditionally we look at maybe the more traditionalist societies like the ultra-Orthodox or the Arab communities, and often it's very, very taboo to discuss it, which is why a conversation that we're having right now is very, very important. And, we're heartbroken that this is the first of the year. We hope it stops there. But the husband of this woman said, when he was caught by police, he said, "I strangled my wife."
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. You know, it's just the reality of Israel to me is just so unbelievably different, because as a South African, when one visits Israel, one of the most strongest impressions one walks away with is having walked in Tel Aviv at 12 o'clock at night and seeing women walk, old women for that matter, alone. It just doesn't seem to be a fear factor, well, at least within the bigger cities. Is this very much a socioeconomic issue?
I think that when it comes to gender-based violence in Israel, this is, more specifically in the home. This is where we see the predominance of these kind of violent attacks taking place. What we do have in Israel, which is quite extraordinary, is Wietzo, which is very familiar to many in Johannesburg, in South Africa. Wietzo runs the only two men's hotlines in the country where men who think that they're going to act out violently against their spouse or their partner are able to call a hotline to try and prevent it. We also work with men who are in jail because they've been jailed because of domestic violence issues. But gender-based violence, I know, especially with the younger generation, this is a huge, huge issue that they are concerned about. And it is something, whether it happens in South Africa or happens in Israel, no matter where it happens in the world, we have to talk about it and find ways to deal with it.
Absolutely. We've just got a little time left, and I just want to mention one thing, Rolene. I happened to be in Israel during the Gulf War, long time ago already. But when the sirens would go off, we all had to go into the Cheder Atum, the sealed rooms, and apparently the incidence of wife beating skyrocketed over that period. So it is interesting that when men feel disempowered, when men feel powerless and not in control of their own futures, they take it out on those closest to them and those they love. And I'm not justifying it for one single second, but I'm saying if we can identify the cause, then we can do something about it. It's not okay that men reach out and bash their wives because they're feeling powerless. It's not okay, but at least we've identified one of the reasons for it. I thought that was a fascinating,
very, very important, very important to look at the triggers, what triggers this kind of behavior.
Rolene Marks, it's 5:30. We leave it there. And same time tomorrow.
Same time tomorrow, Simon. As I say, we have a date.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. It is 5:30. Let's get some news headlines from David.